You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This has been going on for quite a while. I know we talked about this last year, and the article I am referencing is from February. From Jessica Van Egeren and Laura Schulte in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, UW health nurses take their case for forming a union to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So joining us to talk about this are Colin and Cynthia, who are both nurses. Good morning to both of you. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. This is still going on and nothing has been resolved. So which one of you would like to address the whole idea of why do you want to unionize? What would this mean for you if you were to be allowed to unionize?
I'm happy to take that, Cynthia. So I think all workers deserve union representation. But the need is especially acute in healthcare and especially with nurses. And that's because, you know, at the end of the day, our campaign has always been about patients, about providing the best patient care and the best safest conditions. But the fact is, when you work as a nurse, our working conditions are our patient's healthcare system. So when we're advocating for our own working conditions, we're also advocating for the best healthcare system we can create.
It's my understanding that there is a dispute over whose umbrella the nurses actually fall under. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, so you kind of have to have a background in labor law to understand all this.
It's and, really complicated.
You know, I'm a nurse. I'm not going to, like, a capsule summary is that it all goes back to Act 10 deleting our name from the definition of employer in the Wisconsin Employment Peace Act. And so the question is now, where do we belong? I mean, I think all workers deserve the right to unions, and the law for 100 years has found a place for almost every worker to have a clear legal right to representation. And so we're just trying to figure out where that is. And the Supreme Court's going to weigh in by the end of July, probably.
Well, and I think it's important that people remember that under Act 10, which, by the way, Scott Walker never mentioned when he was running for governor, nobody had ever heard about this until he was in office. And then it was like, oh, surprise, here's what I'm going to do. But when he implemented this, he was very surgical about which unions he was going to get rid of and which ones, the ones who would support him and give him money, were allowed to continue as unions. It was a very surgical decision.
Well, the what was going on in Scott Walker's head isn't really my concern today.
Right.
The fact is that Cynthia and I, we know that to have the best working conditions and the best healthcare system for our patients, we need full collective bargaining rights, and so we've been working to get that back through this legal struggle, which has also been an organizing campaign that's gone on for a long time now.
And what is the argument against you being allowed to do this?
I think, well, far be it for me to like make the case against our right to having union representation. But it's rooted in a question about whether we look at the plain language of the law or what our lawmakers' intention was when they were passing the law. Beyond that, you know, I'm going to have to delegate that question to one of our excellent legal team members. But it's like, what happens? You know, what is the meaning of a deletion, and how do we arrive at the accurate interpretation of the law? Do you look just at what you see in the law? Or do you look also at the historical record surrounding that law? And when I try to explain it to my coworkers, you know, it's like, look, every worker has a right to union representation. We have an employer. The question is, what is the status of our employer, and where does that mean, which law does that mean we have governing our union representation?
We are talking about nursing and nurses being able to collectively bargain for wages and working conditions. Can you take us through one of your average days as a working nurse, as a working RN? I don't think people understand exactly how much nurses are responsible for.
Cynthia?
Sure, I can answer that. I work in a pediatric clinic, and my day can look like anything from answering electronic questions that come through the computer from patients to fielding phone calls, post-op complications. I also go through and triage any type of referral that comes from a primary care provider. I make sure that the patient is paired with the best surgeon. A lot of times in pediatrics, we are combining cases so that patients don't have anesthesia unnecessarily multiple times. So there's a lot of coordination behind the scenes that people don't see. We're also the eyes and ears for all of the providers when they aren't in clinic, they aren't available, they are in the operating room, and somebody has a complication while they're at home. We figure out if that patient needs to be seen in the emergency department, or if they can be seen in clinic, or if they can wait till the next day. So we have a lot on our shoulders.
Well, and I think for anyone who's ever been in the hospital for any reason at all, it could be the most minor thing to the most major surgery. I had a colonoscopy last year, and I swear I saw my doctor, I believe it was for 24 seconds. It was a great 24 seconds, nothing against the doctor, but the nurses are the ones who are there the vast majority of the time. The nurses are the ones who are the point people for everything.
And what I'm hearing from both of you is a matter of, and I think this has to go with when groups want to unionize, it's about knowing your worth. You knowing about what you add to the workplace and saying, yeah, I love my job. You're nurses. You've chosen a life of service, and you know what you're worth. And you're saying simply, look, I'm not asking for anything special. I want to be paid what I'm worth. I want to be treated accordingly. And let's have this in a contract together and talk about it, because it's, and that does, that never seems to me personally like too much to ask for.
Can't disagree, right?
Very well said. Yeah.
And goodbye.
And that's good night. But going back again to anyone who has ever been hospitalized, even if you go for your regular doctor's appointment, most of the times it is the nurses who are doing most of the heavy lifting and the daily contact and all of those things. And that's why when we talk about working conditions for nurses affecting the quality of the patient's care, that there's a direct correlation there, correct?
Absolutely. And Cynthia can speak about this on the outpatient side of things. I come from the inpatient side, and yeah, you better believe it's like our bodies are on the line. We're at the bedside. They call it frontline or bedside nursing, you know, and that's because we're there. And when someone gets admitted to the hospital, they're admitted because they need 24/7 nursing care.
Right.
And the nurses who are actually providing that care at the front line, they're the experts. They're the experts on what resources that they need in order to care for their patients safely. And that means that, you know, you want to have a good experience mix in the staff on a nursing unit, so that it's not just all brand new nurses or nurses who are brand new to that that unit. And you want to have safe ratios where nurses aren't trying to take care of more patients than they can safely take care of. And I can say, you know, at UW Health, especially since our campaign started a couple of years ago, we've made a lot of progress. And I think we provide excellent care, outstanding care to our patients. And we have good ratios, at least on, you know, like a lot of our units. And we have that in part because we used to have a union and because we've been collaborating since we almost went on strike in 2022,
right,
to improve conditions with our administrators since then. But that's all, there's no contract that guarantees that, right? I mean, that could all go away tomorrow. And I think in this day and age, when you have people like Elon Musk just firing people willy-nilly, you know, everyone's aware that those good working conditions can go away with the snap of a finger.
We are talking about nursing and the fight for union representation. Colin and Cynthia are both nurses, and they are joining us right now. And I wanted to share this comment that came in on the text line from Mark from Prairie du Sac. When I was hospitalized in 2019, 2020, and 23, my nurses and other caregivers were very appreciative when I voiced support for their union rights. And again, I think anyone who has had any experience in the healthcare industry, no, I hope nobody's dumping on nurses because they sure shouldn't be.
No. And the other thing too is, you know, I'll share this. There's someone very close to me in my life who is in the hospital right now, and I have had a chance to get to know the various nurses that they have worked with through their stay. And, you know, I don't want to come from an advertising side of it, but I guarantee you that when we speak of the experience this person had, it will be about the great nurse's care. I'm not saying the doctors weren't great,
the doctors, right,
at all, but the great nursing care that they received. And it's a way of also saying that's a great hospital. They have a great nursing staff. They're going to take care of you. You don't have to be afraid. They got you. I mean, that all is a part of it, and it's because of the care and what they provide. And I'll say it again. Excuse me. I'll say it again. It doesn't seem like a lot to ask for, especially in this field, to negotiate a contract.
In the about 90 seconds that we have left, Colin or Cynthia, what would you like to see people do who are listening? What can they do to help support nurses?
Well, providing appreciative comments is always welcome. We do work hard every day, and it's always nice to hear that hard work recognized. But I would say, look, all workers deserve union representation. You can sometimes support other workers just by organizing at your own workplace.
Colin and Cynthia, thank you for what you do. Thank you for taking care of folks who I'm sure are always in the best of moods and really appreciative and so lovely when you're bedside. Really, thank you so very, very much. Really appreciate your time. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About a half an hour from now, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the How the Cookie Crumbles edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Use the same email if you have a suggestion for the show, yeah, a guest you think we should have, a topic we should cover. Bonnie sent us an email a couple of days ago with more questions about the SAVE Act.
Yes.
And what this could mean for married women whose birth certificates do not match their driver's license because they took their husband's name when they got married. She's got some questions. We're going to follow up with this. But yeah, reach out to us at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We've been meaning to get to this. Kind of got brushed aside yesterday, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it.
No.
But I do think that it's just worth a mention. Remember Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Put your ear up somewhere you can hear a screaming through the mountains of Georgia.
You can hear the shrieking. Yes, the representative from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, shy blushing flower that she is. Here's the headline from Midas News. Marjorie Taylor Greene deletes tweet asking for beer money donations. The birthday tweet included a link to her son's Venmo account. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene put a personal message on her Twitter account asking followers to send her son beer money for his 22nd birthday, including a Venmo link.
Yeah.
Is this something that our elected representatives should be doing?
I don't think so. And I think that shows because she deleted the tweet.
Yeah.
And also, your 22nd birthday, bro? Who cares?
Quote, it's my baby boy's birthday. He's 22. I love him so much. Heart emoji. Buy him a beer. Unquote.
You buy him a beer. You make $174,000 a year.
No kidding. The tweet was deleted shortly after going live. Wow, she had a second thought. That's amazing. I didn't realize she even had that capability.
Is a GOP member, especially at the federal level, is deleting a tweet the closest we're going to come to an apology?
Oh, absolutely. And then they can say it never happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never happened. It's all in your imagination. It's the deep state made it up. Some users criticized MTG's tweet for its apparent solicitation of funds.
Yeah.
Yes. She's asking for you to send money to her son.
Yeah, that's...
Put a Democrat in this situation.
But if he was running for office, I would be getting text messages all the time for him. That's the thing. They're always asking for money. And I have to imagine she sent that tweet and someone called her and said...
Take it down.
Dude, take it down.
Yeah, she would never have done this on her own.
No.
Critics questioning the appropriateness of a sitting member of Congress encouraging followers to send money to a family member, especially on a public platform.
So this, and maybe Jim Santel can answer this question, or Maggie Dawn can answer this question. If a sitting member of Congress says, send my kid money, do they have to report that as income? I mean, like, if it's over a certain amount, of course. I have to imagine, I can imagine that that kid easily made $1,000. Just because people are going to be like, yeah, I'll send him $5. And she's got fans and people love her.
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely. 20, it's got all the things for whatever. So I'm wondering, will they have to go back and report it? And like, you know, hey, you need to show what you made from this. And you need to pay taxes on it, maybe.
Oh, that would never happen. But I think this is just indicative. I'm sorry, but if the president of the United States can sell coins from the Oval Office, can sell Bibles that he's autographed and make money on it, shouldn't, maybe they should all be allowed to grift.
God, I mean, at this point, that's cute.
Is it fair that only the president gets to grift off to the American people?
Fair point. I mean, but I feel like all those things are cute and pale in comparison to him turning the White House into a car lot.
Buy your used cars here.
Buy your Tesla. It'll be recalled soon.
Oh, and I did see, speaking of cars
and
the tariffs and all of that stuff, one person, I believe, I can't remember which Republican it was, but said, hey, on the plus side, you guys, the value of used cars is going to be going up. So there's the plus. You're not going to be able to afford it, but if you're selling a used car, you get to ask for a little bit more because the value's gone up.
May I confess something?
Sure.
May I have a moment of confession?
Sure.
I had thought of that.
Already. Did you really?
With my car? Yeah. I was like,
got that car.
Oh, I know. But like my plan is to trade it in and keep a newer car over the years. I don't want to drive. We've had this discussion, driving the car into the ground or keeping it. And I'd like to have a semi-newer-ish car to me. And I thought, well, if the only thing I get out of this is that the value of my car will go up, then maybe I can utilize that. But definitely, I don't use it to justify what's going on.
Yeah, here's the great point about all of these tariffs. You can ask more for your used car.
Yeah, but after work today, do you want to go to the White House and check out what they have in the lot?
Yeah, let's go see. Alicia on the live stream says, I had to report my children's income when I ran for assembly. Yeah, that seems like that would be required.
Yeah.
I'm sure MTG is following all the rules. rules.
Yeah, because she loves rules.
She's a rule follower. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, I'm looking forward to this.
This is going to be great.
Am I cheap, or am I just Wisconsin?
Darn right.
I hope you'll be ready to join us after the 11:30 news. This is from something we talked about yesterday. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cavitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up to close out the show, we will do This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the How the Cookie Crumbles edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we've just kind of stumbled into this.
Yeah, it kind of just happened from yesterday.
It's our new regular segment we're calling Audio Sorbet, where we try to lighten things up for the last half hour of the show and just kick things around that are a little on the lighter side.
Yeah.
I do, however, want to give you a heads up, and I know change is hard.
I know.
But if we all hold hands, we'll be fine.
But what if their hands are sweaty, Jane?
Well, put gloves on them. It'll be fine. So, yes, we have some changes.
Yes.
Coming to the Civic Media lineup. It's all good. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen in about 2 weeks. And our show, Matt Nair on Air, is going to move up 1 hour.
Yep.
So we will be on the air from 9 to 11, starting again in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Pat Kreitlow is going to be kicking things off across most of the network from 6 to 9. And then it will be us from 9 to 11. Tom Hartman is joining the lineup from 11 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Alba gets the 2 to 4 slot. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. It's all good. It really is all good. That's and it's great. Going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Look at us.
It's going to be fine.
It's fine.
Change is hard.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks. We have a couple of weeks to get ready for the change. Just some slight alterations, a little moving here, a little moving there.
Yeah.
So, about 2 weeks. And if you ever miss anything and if you're not able to listen live, which we completely understand, you have a life and you have things to do and you're working and you have errands and whatever, you can always listen to old episodes or you can listen to the episode later.
Yes.
At civicmedia.us.
Yep. And download it as a podcast. There's ways of hearing our voices. And absolutely. We know they're wonderful voices to hear.
Well, that remains to be seen. But anyway, yes, that change coming in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We were talking about this yesterday. I'm not saving it anymore.
Yes.
This stems from this silly brooch that I bought when I went to see a friend of mine in Texas.
Nay, silly. Wonderful.
It cost me $8.30, to be specific.
Darn right it was.
And I can't help but talk about how they're fat because I love it. I think it's fabulous.
Yes.
And it makes me happy. And someone on the live stream said, only a woman would admit how cheap something was that you bought.
I mean, to paraphrase, the women do that.
Women, yes. We're always like, hey, I like your shirt. Great. I got it on sale. So my question to you is, am I cheap or am I just Wisconsin?
Because both of us discussed this before the show. We don't think it's a woman thing. We think it's a Wisconsin thing.
Exactly.
And it's a matter of just how you present the information. Like, I've done it too. I don't think it's a woman thing. People have said to me, like, oh, yeah, I like that. Oh, I got it on sale.
Right.
I got it on sale.
See, I don't think it's just a woman thing.
No,
I think it is a Wisconsin thing. And correct me if I'm wrong. I would love to hear someone brag about how much they paid for something. Maybe that happens.
But
if you're trying to, do we do that when we're trying to impress someone? I paid $9,000 for this thing.
There's a side question for Wisconsinites, and I feel like Wisconsinites specifically. How do you feel when someone brags about how expensive it is? You're not going to be, it's going to be like a great. Okay, cool.
That's a really good question. Yeah. Am I cheap or am I just Wisconsin?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Shizu on the live stream says, not cheap, thrifty.
I also love Shizu's approach to the changes. Without change, there wouldn't be no butterflies.
Aww. We're in chrysalis stage, Shizu. Exactly. That's right.
Exactly.
Am I cheap or am I Wisconsin? Brian from Milwaukee is the first one up. Good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Yeah, no, I think it's a Wisconsin thing. I think we all do that. For example, I was at a thrift store once, and there was a leather jacket, a long coat leather jacket. I don't remember the brand name, but
right.
I mean, it was a high-end coat leather jacket that probably cost about $400 at, you know, a major store.
Right.
And I was able to get it for $13. And everywhere I went with that jacket, everyone's like, oh, that's a nice jacket. Oh, thanks to God, that St. Vincent de Paul for $13. You know?
Brian, I have a friend of mine. I have a friend of mine, Dan. Same thing. If you say nice jacket, he'll tap the lapel and go, $8.
But Brian, we do that because it's a victory, right?
Yes.
It's a win.
It is. Yes. It's a win. Exactly.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Years ago, when I was working for a different radio station, and we had a luncheon at Grand Avenue. When that was the place to be, the Grand Avenue Mall in downtown Milwaukee. And we had this luncheon with some people from New York.
Ooh.
I know. And I'm sitting at this luncheon, and the woman next to me from New York says, that's a lovely blouse you're wearing.
Yeah.
And I said, thank you. I got it on sale. And as I see the words coming out of my mouth, the look of horror that crossed her face that I admitted I had gotten it on sale, it was like I had shared a recipe for cheesy chipmunk roadkill casserole.
I
kid you not.
I may think this too. Like, it's not that you made your, okay, it's not, that comparison to the casserole makes us almost sound like we're country bumpkins. Like we, but I think what it is we're in Wisconsin, and as Megan and Sun Prairie listening on WMDX says, I think it's almost a Midwest thing. I grew up in Illinois, and I swear it happened a lot growing up. We see it as a badge of honor. Maybe people on the coast see it as a dirty secret, because in those
cities, it's a different way of presenting yourself.
It's more expensive living there. It's a faster lifestyle. You got to impress to success there. You have to be on all the time. We're here in Wisconsin, like, and it's like, oh man, I love that couch, man. Oh, my buddy sold it to me.
Right.
He was going to throw it out. I just had to deep clean it.
Are we cheap or is it just Wisconsin?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Peggy from Brooklyn is on the line. Good morning, Peggy. Thank you for joining us.
So a couple things. Women always say they got it on sale no matter what, because their husbands have a fit if they spend too much money, even if they make their money or make more money. So you always say, my husband will say to me now, oh, you got that on sale? Whether I got it on sale or not, I go, yeah.
It
was a sale today. He just knows. That's why women do it. I'm not sure why men do it. But I actually got stuck in that little lie once. I worked for some doctors at the University of Wisconsin, and I got a cocktail dress. It was darling for $7 at St. Benny's. And I wore it to a Christmas party, and one of the doctors fell in love with it, wanted to know where I got it, and I didn't know what to say, so I did the white lie thing and said, I think it was JCPenney's. I can't really remember. I've had it for years. She went to every JCPenney's and looked for that dress.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Oh, Peggy, that is so funny. That is so funny. But that's kind of like my story about the luncheon with the New Yorkers,
yeah,
who looked at me with such horror. Why would you tell me you got it on sale? Because it's a victory.
Maybe you could go buy one too. We got some wonderful comments coming through the text line here. Terry, listening in Germantown and WAUK. In California, they brag about how expensive a purchase is. We love to get a compliment on how something is very cheap and exclaim, this top cost me $3.
I know.
Exactly. And Jesse and Madison on WMDX says, I don't know where this guy got the notion that it was just a woman thing. And it ain't just Wisconsin. This is a common in the Midwest. By the way, I like how they're giving their opinion on the topic, but then saying, I got an awesome late modern style office chair for free. That is in bold, people. He emboldened the for free. My neighbor left it on the curb. Now it's going in my office.
Oh, nice. What is your victory?
Yeah.
What did you get on the cheap? 855-752-4842. Am I cheap? Or am I just Wisconsin? Tony on the live stream says, it's Wisconsin, not cheap. Connection between Cadillac converter and muffler on my Ford Escape rusted through. I took an empty steel veggie can, hollowed it out, bought some stainless steel clamps, and connected the converter to the muffler. Fixed. Quiet. Big savings. Still quiet. No disrespect to auto service people.
And Alicia on the live chat, it's a matter of pride to announce when you got something on sale. Saying a dress has pockets is a woman thing. But the price, I think, is Wisconsin. I totally agree, Alicia. I actually have a bit in my stand-up talking about dresses and pockets. But yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's good to save some money. We are a frugal bunch.
Well, but as Shishu said, we're thrifty.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking for deals. We're looking for bargains to show that we are cost conscious. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. And that's why I think when you said what you said to the woman in New York, I really felt like she was looking at you in horror because you had given up a dirty secret that you didn't pay
full price.
$75 or $100. You not only paid less, but you were proud of it.
Yeah, it wasn't a shameful thing. It was a win.
Shizu also says on the live stream, only time I bragged about something expensive I bought was a fancy rice cooker. Trust me, you will never go back to stovetop.
855-752-4842. Is it cheap or is it just Wisconsin?
And I think what we're learning here is that it's a Midwestern thing. And I would almost posit to say, it's not just a Wisconsin thing. It's not a woman thing, and it's not just a Wisconsin thing or Midwest. But I would honestly say that it's a quote-unquote flyover state thing. This area in the middle of the country where we don't get, you know.
It's not about what you drive and what you have. That's not where all of our values are.
We aren't a community that has to impress each other to exist, and we don't need that validation. In fact, the validation we want, as you said, is showing that we can find a deal and we can save the money, and we all high five, whether it's outwardly or in our brains. We're like, good job.
Oh yeah. I was waiting for that woman from New York to give me a high five. It's like, what? This was great. This is one of the greatest things I ever did. Sally and Mequon listening on WAUK. I'm originally from Connecticut. It is said in Connecticut, mostly by women. I think it demonstrates our ability to be economically wise and not wasteful.
Also, big ups to the husbands out there asking their wives how much things cost and if they got them on sale. My goodness, just let them buy their stuff.
Brownwin, listening on WMDX, I never pay full price ever, and I'm not from Wisconsin at all, but I am a woman.
There you go.
Liz from Saukville, I bought a Tahari raincoat at TJ Maxx worth $250, $15 on clearance. I still get compliments on it. That's huge.
This makes me want to go to like a place and just like a TJ Maxx and just find a nice jacket for like, this is $35. It's originally $150.
I know. And you just want to walk around and say that.
And I know it goes without saying, but let's just outwardly say it too. The rush of buying it. When you buy something, especially something that's like a few hundred dollars for super cheap on clearance, you feel like, Jane, you're getting away with something.
You do.
It's like, am I gonna get in trouble?
That's really funny. Alicia, I got a beautiful solid wood dresser for $10.
Good Lord.
Good win.
Nice.
Good victory.
Solid furniture for cheap. I love that.
Oh, you can't beat that. Ollie from the Northwoods, real quickly. Ollie, we got about a minute left. What'd you want to say as we wrap this up?
The thrill of the hunt, yeah. I think. I just wanted to tell a quick story about a niece of mine, great niece. She came to her grandma's house, and she was only 3 years old, and she pulled this little dress out of the bag, and she turned it one way, and she turned it the other way for grandma to see. $2, she said.
Boom!
And she's three.
We're raising them.
That's right. We are raising them right. Thank you so much, Ollie. Really appreciate it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was.
It was a lot of fun. See, we're thrifty, my friends.
If you have something, like, seriously, text it in, email us. We want to know what you bought on the cheap.
On the cheap, that would be great. When we return, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking a little bit about the lineup changes that are coming across the network in about 2 weeks. Had a couple of questions. Stephanie Miller will still be on in Madison. If you are a Stephanie Miller fan.
And if you are listening in Madison and you want to listen to us, you will then need to find us podcast style.
Right. And Earl Ingram is absolutely staying with Civic Media, but Earl's going to be leaving the morning show. He's going to be focusing on special projects and Milwaukee-centric content. Earl is a really important part of Civic Media, and he's going to be a very special contributor, too.
Yes.
So Earl is not going away. He's going away from his daily show, but he is still going to be working and doing special podcasts and all kinds of things for Civic Media. So again, in a couple of weeks, 6 to 9, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, 9 to 11 will be us, Matt and Air on Air, 11 to 2, Tom Hartman is coming back, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, and then Nightlight with Pete Schwabba at 6 p.m. Also, no changes for John and Gordy or Mano and the Mayor.
Yep.
As well. So I hope that helps clarify things just a little bit. Those changes coming in about 2 weeks. It is 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Greta Cross from USA Today. The headline reads, Crumble launches Kardashian-Jenner cookies, C6 flavors inspired by Kim, Chris, and the family.
I can't look at you in the eyes right now.
Can you hear the disdain dripping from my... On Monday, Crumble, which offers specialty cookies, launched its Kardashian-Jenner family Crumble cookie menu. Part of the Kardashian-Jenner Cookie Week, today through the 12th, cookies range from Chris's classic yellow layer cake with chocolate icing to Khloe's cookies and cream brownie skillet. Quote from Crumble co-founder Sawyer Hemsley, "We've never had an entire menu taken over before, and who better to do it than the legendary ladies of the Kardashian-Jenner family. Iconic family." Sorry, I had something in my throat. Mm-hmm. "Meets iconic desserts. It just makes sense."
No, it doesn't.
No.
I can think of like 50 people who would do better at I mean, if you look at the cookie in the pictures, they look very nice. But
the Crumble makes big, great cookies.
But the thing is like they're not the like when I think of great cookies, nary do I think the Kardashians or the Jenners.
Yeah. There are all kinds of other things I associate with those two families. Cookies aren't one of
no,
them.
No, not at all. Not one bit.
Cookies, no. Not so much.
Yeah, this is, but.
I was kind of happy because it seemed to me like they were disappearing.
No.
They're more, but their show isn't, you know, top it's, like it used to be. Yeah. It still exists. But yeah. they were kind of going off to the sidelines, which made me so happy.
But the thing is they're going off to the sidelines and they're making tons of money. I think one of them, Kylie, is her name Kylie?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. She's like she is a billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're just growing up and doing their own thing.
I don't resent their money. All of that is great. I just don't want to see any of them. Is that too much to ask?
No, that's fine. I get that. I know your feelings, the Kardashians. We've been over this before. Not on the air, really, but whenever the Kardashians come up, I'm like, oh, no.
I just don't feel that they have done anything useful for society would be my only complaint. For the amount of love and attention that they get from the public at large, that leaves me baffled. I'm baffled.
No, and I get that because when the Osbournes came out, there was not really that reality show template, and it was cute and fun, and we got to know them, but this, I don't know, I personally feel like the Kardashians and the Jenner, there's a little more sinister. It's more business. It's more like we can make money off this get our name on everything.
It's more like we'll make money off anything.
But the other thing, too, is I take issue with the idea that they are the foremost name in cookie creation.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's just my personal pet peeve today.
Yeah.
I get to do that from time to time.
We get to talk about them, and now you feel better.
I do.
It's audio sorbet.
Kind of a cleansing.
Whoo.
11, that wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, our friend Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to be here at 10:33. Tragically, there's been another death in Texas. Another child has died from measles. So we're going to be talking about that among many other things. So I hope you can join us for that. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for being thrifty. I hope you find some joy today. And you have the chance to share it. News coming up next, followed by Todd Alvis. So keep it right here. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.